welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? It's Jessica from the podcast. Thanks for tuning in today for another episode. I have an amazing episode for you today. It is with Crystal Payne of Money Saving Mom. Crystal blogs about money saving tips and frugality and things like that. And recently, she's really underwent kind of a shift in her online presence as she's tried to be more open and vulnerable about her day-to-day life and her imperfections. And so today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that shift and whether that has been a concerted, intentional effort or if it's kind of been a natural evolution for her. I love her ideas so much. I love what she's doing. And she just has this goal of wanting to help others and empower others. And I love that mission so much. She's also an extraordinary mom of three little kids, so she's the perfect guest for our podcast. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Crystal Payne today. Let's get to it. All right, I want to welcome Crystal Payne today. Hi, Crystal.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with me on the podcast. I'm a longtime fan, and I originally heard you on Power of Moms, I think, years ago.
Oh, wow. Yes, that would have been years ago.
But then you were on a little bit more recently, I think, too. But I've just been following along and have loved what you've done with your blog and everything. And since following you on social media, I feel like I've gotten a different impression of you as well in terms of more who you are as a person and as a mom. And that's really why I wanted to chat with you on the show today.
Well, I'm so excited to get the opportunity to talk about motherhood because it is something that I don't blog about very much, but I get to share a little bit on social media, and so it's always fun when I get the opportunity to kind of share directly to moms.
Yeah, go a little more in-depth with that aspect of your life, because I know that's very important to you, but if your blog's not focused on that, yeah, it's kind of hard to mix that in and incorporate, like, well, how do I do that if it's not really part of my brand?
Yes.
Yeah, I totally get it. So for people that aren't familiar with Money Saving Mom, you are the Money Saving Mom. Will you just give a little background, Crystal, on yourself and your family?
Absolutely. So my husband and I have been married for 14 and a half years. We actually met when we were 9 and 10, and so we were kind of childhood sweethearts.
Cute.
And we, soon after we got married, we knew that my husband was planning to go to law school, and so that has been a big part of our journey and what really launched Money Saving Mom, even though at the time we had no idea what was in our future. So 6 months after we got married, we moved away from our family and our friends and the town that we had always known and moved to Topeka, Kansas, and he started going to law school. And we had set this audacious goal that he was going to go through law school and we were going to stay out of debt. So quickly, the rubber met the road, and we had to figure out how we were going to keep a roof over our heads and food on the table. So I come from a family of nine, and I was homeschooled, and part of my home ec was to do the cooking and the menu planning, the grocery shopping for our family for 2 years. And so I have a lot of real life hands-on experience, but it was fun to really take it to the next level in our little basement apartment on our beans and rice budget. And so I did that and learned about playing the drugstore game and learned really how to maximize the mileage of our money. And I had started this little mommy blog because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and I was trying to figure out a way to earn an income from home. So I was dabbling in a lot of different things. So I started this mommy blog because I'd heard that blogging was a way that you could make some money, and I was trying to figure out how to do that. And I said on there one day about buying all their groceries for $17 that week, and people just started coming out of the woodwork saying, oh my goodness, how on earth did you do that? And I realized that there was just a huge interest in grocery tips and how to save money on groceries and how to catch a grocery bill. So I started blogging on that mommy blog about that, and just realized that there was a need to start a blog really dedicated to the topic of saving money, and really specifically ways that moms could save money in the middle of their busy schedule. So in 2007, I started Money Saving Mom, and that was, my husband already was graduated from law school at that point. We had our second baby, and I just thought it was going to be this little side thing that I did. Well, within a year, it had turned into a full-time income for our family, and a few years later, then we decided for my husband to come home full-time, and that is what we do. And so we never kind of envisioned that this small little side thing that I did, inspired through the lessons that we learned in law school, was actually going to become our family's full-time income. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, I love that. We went through law school as well, so I understand the penny pinching mindset and aspiring to no debt, but to really make that happen, it's hard to know the tools. And what I love is you took something out of necessity, turned it into a passion, and then really now you're able to educate others. And so if there's somebody listening at home that maybe just has a passion for something and they've, you know, researched it themselves and they have their own methods that are tried and true, you can do something with that. You don't need to go to school for it. You don't need to be, quote unquote, an expert because of your book smarts. It can be your own personal experience that really adds value to other people's lives.
Yeah, I think that's what people are really craving for. They aren't necessarily wanting to know, you know, give me the 10-step plan, although those can be valuable, but really they are craving story. And so I feel like our story gives people hope, because it wasn't like I set out with this marketing degree. I mean, I didn't even go to college, and it wasn't like I had this background where I done a lot of these types of things. It was just self-taught and really just the desire to be able to be a stay-at-home mom and the desire to be able to inspire other women and share our journey. And I never could have dreamed what it would lead to.
Yeah, you're right. It is about the story. It's kind of like parenting experts that don't have kids, right? It's really easy to say, like, how to discipline your children, how to do bedtime when you don't have actual kids, right? Or or if you're pregnant with your first and you're like, okay, my kids' noses are always going to be wiped. They're always going to have their hair combed, all of those things. And then you have your kids and you're like, well, that's obviously out the window a lot of the time. But it's so relatable to be like, I've done this. I've done the hard work, and it's not perfect, and it can be messy, and there is a learning curve. But I did it, and you can too. And I think that's why it just resonates with so many people, don't you think?
Yeah, I really feel like for me, knowing that I wasn't someone who did really well in school or wasn't someone who would have been seen as most likely to succeed. And so I feel like if I can be successful at figuring out a passion and a profession and how to meld the two together and do something that I really absolutely love, but also is impacting so many people and providing an income for our family, I feel like if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Oh, that's so encouraging. Tell me about early motherhood for you. What were those early days like? And then how did it work with you also trying to put effort into saving money and things like that?
Yes. Okay. So early motherhood, you know, what you said about the parenting experts who don't have kids, I feel like I went into marriage thinking I knew that I wanted to be a mom. I knew that I wanted to have kids. That was something that I had wanted to do since I was a young girl. And I actually told my husband I really wanted to have 12 kids. That's what I
12.
Thought.
Okay.
Coming from a large family, I just thought, I want to have a lot of kids too. Like, this is a great thing. And I had spent a lot of time around kids growing up. Not only I am second of seven, and so my youngest brother was born when I was 17. And so I had a lot of experience with just my younger siblings, but then also I worked as a nanny for different families. I babysat a lot. And so I had cared for many, many, many little kids. And so I kind of went into motherhood thinking, you know, I kind of got this. Like, I know how this works, and it's hard, but it's good. And I got this. And then my first baby came along. And I realized, you know what? It's a lot different than babysitting or nanny.
Yes.
I figured that out really fast.
Yes.
I'm like, you don't get to, like, go home at the end of the day. This baby is yours. And that just kind of hit me like a Mack truck. And so I remember just so distinctly bringing home our little Catherine, and We had hoped that she would be born whenever my husband was in the middle of, would have been his Christmas break, but she came 2 weeks late. And so he had already started back to school. And so he couldn't take any time off. It was just, you know, we have this baby and we come home and immediately he is back to his life. And I am in this little basement apartment with no vehicle. We didn't really have many friends. We didn't have a lot of support. Our family lives 2.5 hours away. And I'm trying to figure out, how on earth do you do this motherhood thing? And it was scary. It was stressful. It was overwhelming. And she did not sleep. She would usually sleep about 7 hours in a 24-hour period. And that is not really what newborns are supposed to do.
Right.
And she just cried for the first 6 months. She cried and she cried and she cried. And I would read the books and I would try, you know, and it was like nothing was working. And so it was really hard. Those first 6 months, I remember 2 weeks into it, one of my friends who had had multiple kids, she came over and I opened up the door and she just gave me this look and she's just like, "It's tough, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yes." And I wish, looking back, like, I feel like I wish I would have done a better job of stepping outside of my comfort zone and really trying to plug in with young moms. And I was such an introvert at that time, and I was so insecure and just really had a lot of unhealthy things in my heart that I was so scared to step out and try to meet other people. And so I really was very alone in those, the first 2 years. And so, our second daughter came along, 2.5 years later, and, her pregnancy was so much better. And I think a lot of it was just because I knew, you know, there's actually going to be a baby at the end. And so there's something very fulfilling about knowing that it's just not 9 months of torture for nothing.
Sure.
So her pregnancy was better, but then I did struggle with a lot of health issues during her pregnancy. So that was harder, but I feel like my attitude overall was better. And then after she was born, we kind of hit one of the lowest seasons of our married life. My husband was out of law school, but financially we didn't hardly have any money in the bank, and he lost his job that we were kind of banking on was going to be his great starting job out of law school. And we ended up having to move, and he got a position that he really hated, and we still only had one vehicle, and then he was gone for long hours, and so I'm home with these, you know, two little kids and trying to figure out this motherhood thing still, and how do you do two kids? And it was just hard. And I look back on that season of life and just think, I really am not sure how I made it through, but I did.
Yeah.
But it was hard, and my heart just goes out so much to young moms who especially don't have a good support system, because I didn't have that, and I fault myself for that, but I just didn't know where to turn and how to make that happen. And so it was hard, but you know, it was also, there's so many beautiful moments, and we look back at that season of life and it was so simple, and we didn't have a lot of money, so we had to figure out how to have fun and enjoy life without any money, thanks to the library, thanks to free things in our area and all that. I had my third child. He is 22 months. He came along 22 months later, and his pregnancy and that whole experience was a completely different thing. And I think I had grown up some as a mom and just realizing more how to state my needs and how to get help and ask for help and be honest about the struggles and not just try to put on a plastic smile and pretend like everything's okay when it wasn't. And I feel like I was able to just enjoy him so much more because I had let go of a lot of the stress and the people pleasing that I had put on my on myself with my girls. And so just really, I was just a lot more relaxed as a mom. And I think that just comes with time sometimes, you know?
It does. And if you were to tell yourself those lessons like, oh, just relax with your first and, oh, it'll be fine, you wouldn't necessarily believe it. You kind of have to go through that yourself. And it might give you a little hope and sustenance to get through each day, to hear those reassuring words. But really, sometimes you just got to do life. And you can't circumvent the hard path to get you where you need to go in order to learn the lessons you personally need to learn to get to the best place and the best version of yourself possible. Is that kind of what you found?
Yes, absolutely. I think that it's those hard seasons that they really refine you and really mature you as a mom. And I just don't think that anyone can go into motherhood and just have it all figured out and be all prepared. It just doesn't happen.
No, I agree. And even by your third, your circumstances weren't tremendously different than with your first, but your perspective was really different. So what would you tell the mom that is with that first baby and with your third baby perspective, who's really struggling through the hard stuff?
I think the biggest thing that I would encourage women is to be more honest about your struggles. And I think I didn't even know how to really even be honest with myself, because all of my life I'd kind of been really good about putting on this persona of perfection. So I didn't even know how to be honest with myself. And I wish that I could just go back and shake myself and be like, this is really hard. This sucks. Like, be honest. Just tell somebody that, you know, just be really, really honest that this is really hard. But when people had asked, you know, how's it going? How are you doing? I could just always be like, it's great. It's great. Like, I found our Christmas letter that I had written, one of the few that I ever wrote, but, and I found it was when we just had our daughter. I think she was, she was a year, and I read it and I was like, seriously, woman, this is, you make your life sound like it was so glamorous, and this was a really hard season. I just wanted to shake that woman and just be like, you could have just been like, it's been tough, it's been an adjustment. But just so that's really an encouragement that I would give to moms, is it's okay to not have it all together. It's really okay. All moms have very hard days. I mean, just this morning, I was having a very hard day, and I was thinking, I'm going on the Extraordinary Moms podcast, and I do not feel like an extraordinary mom. We all have hard days.
Yes, no, we totally do. And I think there's different ways to view those days of weakness or our personal weaknesses. And sometimes we face them and share them with, or don't share them, with a lot of shame. But I think there's tremendous bravery and strength also from sharing those same exact experiences. It's just a matter of how you think about them. So if you're saying, I'm really struggling with the baby thing, like, I'm just not feeling it. It's so hard. I'm so drained. I feel resentful. I want to go back to work. Whatever it is that you are feeling guilty about or vacillating with, sharing that is not a sign that you are weak or that you're a bad mom or anything like that. It's actually a sign of strength that, like, you identified it and you're going to do something with it, whatever it is. And sometimes you can't change your circumstances, but you are able to do something with that. And I think that's really brave.
Well, I think then it also opens the door for really authentic relationship, because if you act like you have it all together, then I feel like you kind of put up this wall that no mom feels like she can ever share honestly with you if she's having a hard day, because she feels like you don't get it, because your life was just all roses and rainbows, you know? If you're honest, then you go first, and then it gives her the open door to feel like she can also share with you, and it can just really pave the way for these beautiful relationships where you're being authentic and you're both in the thick of the hard and the mess, but you are sharing it together. And there's just so much strength that comes when you know that you're not alone.
Sure. Oh, we talk about that so much on the podcast, and I could not agree more. So when you were in the phase, and even up till recently, when you were in the phase of trying to put on this, I have it together, put a smile on, I have it all kind of facade in a way, what was the thing that helped you to get past that where you were willing to share? And how did you overcome any insecurity that you might get some backlash or some feedback that you didn't like?
That's a really great question, and I think it's kind of been a slow and gradual process, and I see myself as becoming more and more authentic and kind of coming into my own and finding my real true voice, not the one that I think people want to hear. because I feel like for the longest time as a blogger, especially a blogger who started when blogging was a very new phenomenon, it's easy to kind of create this persona online of who you think you're supposed to be. And then once you've created that, which a lot of times I don't think we recognize that we're doing that. It's just like, well, we want to help people. We want to inspire people. I think for me, it was always, well, I don't want to bring people down. And I think the other thing was, is there were a lot of things going on in our life that I didn't feel like I could share with the internet when we were walking through maybe some of the unemployment and some of the things dealing with that, especially because of my husband and where he was at, and he didn't feel comfortable with me sharing. So I felt like I kind of had created this persona of a woman who was living with attention and all that, which is what I was aiming for, but that's not always the reality of what it was. So you create this persona, and then it's very hard to figure out, okay, when you recognize and you wake up and you realize that's not exactly who I am, to figure out, okay, well then how do I actually share who I am? And so it's been a very slow and gradual process for me of just getting braver and braver, starting with sharing with, you know, having real life community and sharing with them, and then having them challenge me, well, you need to bring that to the internet as well. And so just putting a little bit out there, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, until I really feel like the last year I've gotten to the place where I'm really okay with disappointing a lot of people in order to help the few that really need to know that they're not alone.
And so many times I found that oftentimes we project that we're afraid we're going to disappoint other people, but really it's about us. It's about disappointing ourselves. What do you think about that?
I feel like I am my biggest critic and my worst cheerleader. And I focused so much on where I need to improve, which is a good quality in some aspects, because I feel like I am good at figuring out here's the problem and here's a good solution. That's something that I'm usually pretty good at. But it's a problem when I'm just focusing on problems.
I'm pointing out a problem in
my life. The irony. But I think that it is true that so much of the time when I will step back and critique a post or something for social media before I put it out there, I am the one who's pointing out the flaws in it that I think other people might see. And so then trying to decide, well, am I okay with sharing that? And I think it is really true. I think the other thing is with having blogged for so many years, you tend to pick up on things more because you've been criticized. I mean, every single day there's people who are critical and disappointed and writing in upset about something or other, because you can't please all the people. And so you do become more sensitive, and maybe almost hypersensitive on the one hand, and cynical on the other hand. So I think it can be, you have to be very careful that it doesn't become unhealthy, that you are looking through everything with the microscope of that one or two or three very critical people.
Yes. No, I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and she said, sometimes I'm afraid to share my infertility journey because I'm afraid of hurting or saying the wrong things. And if I can even think of one person that might be hurt or saddened by what I have to say because now I have a baby, sometimes I don't want to share. And I just said, yes, there is that one, but then there's also the other one that needs to hear what you have to say. You know, and so like you said, you can't please all the people, because even if you're pleasing a lot of the people, there's still going to be disappointed people. You can't ever be 100% with all the people all the time. It's just unrealistic. And we know that cognitively, but gosh, why is it so hard to get through our head that that's an expectation that we can just throw out because it's unreasonable?
Yeah. And one of the things earlier this year, I realized that, and I wrote a post or an email newsletter on this, but how I was holding back so much because of the 3%, because I know the 3% is out there of the people who either want me to fail or are just hypercritical. And it's when you put something out there that you know instinctively you're going to get some pushback for it, just because some people want you to be perfect. They do. And unfortunately, that is the nature of the internet. And if you put it out there, for instance, if I ever talk about motherhood and I talk about dealing with an issue with my child or something, I will always get responses from people. I mean, just the other day, someone was like, you really need to go to counseling because you have issues. And or they'll tell me, you know, you're parenting wrong. Like, if you would change these three things, that would fix it. Or many, many times people have told me, you know, if you didn't work, if you would just give that up, and if you would just be a stay-at-home mom, you wouldn't have these issues. Hmm. Knowing those people are out there.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I've had to really figure out who are the truth tellers in my life that I'm going to listen to, and what is the truth that I'm going to listen to, and where am I going to let that come from, and who am I going to filter it through? Because I am not always the best judge of truth, especially when it's coming from someone who's being really critical. And I think for all moms, it's really easy for us, I think, in this culture where there is social media and where it's always the mommy wars, I hate that phrase, but you know, you always feel like you could be doing something better. Either you should be staying home whenever you're working, or you should be working whenever you're staying home. Are you, you know, the breastfeeding versus bottle feeding, you know, versus there's private school versus public school versus homeschool, you know, like there's all the different things. Whereas a mom, you can feel like, you know, am I feeding my kid enough organic food? Yeah. Or should we have, you know, should we be buying a water distiller because our water is probably not good enough? Or do I have my kids in too many activities, or are they not enough activities? And as moms, we can constantly be feeling like we're being judged by other people, or it's just the voices in between our own two ears that are judging us. And so for me, it's been very helpful to have a few people in my life who I consider, you know, you've earned the right to speak truth. And so anytime when I'm really wavering over a situation, maybe there's been a comment that someone has said, maybe someone has personally come to me and confronted me about something, maybe I'm just personally feeling guilt over not doing enough, bringing that to these people in my life who are my truth tellers and saying, here's how I'm feeling. Can you give me some really honest feedback on this? Is there truth here that I need to listen to? Or am I just putting guilt on myself where I shouldn't put guilt?
Yes. And I think it's so critical to work on yourself for the benefit of your children as well. Now that your kids are getting older, they're watching you go through this evolution of self-reflection and betterment. And you're not striving to be perfect. You're striving to be better, a better version of yourself. Are you intentional with how you communicate with your kids about that? Or what are you hoping to model for them and teach them through your words as well?
You know, that's so good. I think there's two things for that. For one, I've really been noticing how I am so hard on myself. And so I say things that I don't want my daughters to say about themselves.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Like I will say, oh man, these pants make me look fat. And I'm like, whoa, what kind of message am I communicating to my daughters? Mm-hmm. And we just say these things really flippantly, without even thinking about the ramifications that they have for our kids. And mm-hmm. so that's one thing that I've really been thinking about, is what kind of language am I using about myself around my kids, and especially my girls, because I feel like I know that as a lot of my insecurities came from being a young girl who I felt like I wasn't good enough. And I just want to really give them messaging that helps them to see their worth and their value. So that's one thing. And then the second thing for me is we just had a conversation this week, and this is really raw at this moment, and I haven't processed it through as far as like, how does this play out? But my kids, we were talking about the fact that they know that on social media, I've been sharing a lot more honestly about our struggles and parenting struggles, motherhood struggles. And one of my things is that I will never name a child in a negative way. So if I'm sharing about a situation, I'm never going to give enough details that anyone would know who it was. And I'm never going to name a child, because I'm very, very conscientious of the fact that in 10 years from now, there will be employers who will be Googling my kids' names, and I do not want my child to lose a job or lose an opportunity because I posted something on the internet about them.
Yeah.
So I want to be very careful that I'm never shaming them on the internet. But at the same time, we were just having this conversation where they were saying, but mom, like, I don't really like it when you share that we struggle. And I said, I want you to read these posts. And I said, nobody knows who it is. And they're like, but there's only three of us and they could maybe figure out which one of us it is. And I said, yes, but if I share the good, I can't just share the good. I said, I'm always telling wonderful things about you all, but if I only share the wonderful things, that's not giving people a really honest look into our life. You can't just share the amazing without also sharing that there are hard things too. And so I don't have the answers on this. I don't know if I'm walking that out well, but that's the reality of something that I've really been thinking about a lot is how do you navigate that, especially with social media, especially as my kids are getting older? How do I navigate that well so that I'm not in any way shaming my children or making them feel uncomfortable, but I'm also giving the honest look into our life and where we're at?
Well, let me know when you figure that out. That's the million-dollar question. That's your next blog series. It is so hard, but I love that you're having conversations with them about it. And I mean, you're so right that 10 years from now, they're going to be able to look up anything that you wrote about them or things like that. And I think it's great to have those boundaries of not giving too many details of names or identifying the kids. But they are helping so many people, and it is just so tricky, and it's hard to especially with marriage issues as well. You never want to get too nitty gritty into the details of your marriage because it is private and personal. But on the other hand, it seems like everyone else has husband of the year. So it's like, oh, they're the best father on Father's Day. They're the best one on their anniversary. And it's like, what did my husband do? And your husband may be just fine. But comparatively, if they're only but bursting at the seams about how amazing and how studly their man is, well, yeah, you're going to be feeling a little lacking. So that's a tricky thing.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the things for me that I have done that's, I feel like at least it's a good, I hope that it is a good thing to do, is that just if I'm going to write a post where I feel like, especially for our marriage, where I'm going to be talking about, you know, my husband and I had an argument or we were struggling with this or whatever, I always have my husband read it. If there's any kind of check in my spirit of like, I'm not 100% sure that he would be 150% good with this, always having him read. So if it has anything to do with him, I just always have him read it before I post it. And that's been helpful. And I do that for my kids as well. If there's anything that I'm sharing about them that I feel like they might want to have a say in, which is most everything I share about them,
right.
Then I ask them to look at it first. And so, for instance, my oldest daughter, she's 12, and she doesn't really like me to share much about her on the internet. So I try to really be very, you know, careful about what I share about her and always asking her permission. And a lot of times she'll say, no, Mom, I'd rather you didn't. And just really honoring that, because I don't ever want her to feel like she's living in a fishbowl or something like that. So just being really, I want to honor her wishes in that and be very careful that my kids don't feel uncomfortable with anything that I put out on the internet.
Yeah, no, that's such a great point. And there does come an age where there's that shift, right? Like maybe your son still doesn't care as much because he's younger, but your daughters are starting to get to that phase, and then their friends might find you online and then they say, oh, I saw a picture of you, you know, when as a baby. My mom is so funny. She'll post birthday pictures on our birthdays, like on Facebook, but it will be like our first birthday or whatever. And I'm fine with it. I think it's funny. My brothers, on the other hand, are like, Mom, like I'm 28 years old. Like, stop putting baby pictures online. That's so embarrassing to my Jeffrey. I love you so much. You're the best, you know? And so everyone just has a different sensitivity. So I think keeping that open conversation with your kids or your husband or whoever that you're going to share with the public, just having that open dialogue and respecting those boundaries, I think that's really all you can do.
Yeah, well, and I think also one of the things for me has been to really think about what I share about other people. So I'm very careful about I don't share a lot of pictures of other people in our life just because some of our friends don't feel comfortable with that, or I just want to respect their privacy. And I also don't want it to be like, you know, we're having you over and then I'm documenting this so that I can put it on the internet.
Yes. You know?
I feel like it's really important that there are a lot of spaces in our life that aren't shared with the internet.
Sure.
And I think just, you know, figuring out what those boundaries look like and what that looks like for your family and just deciding ahead of time on that has been really helpful. So then you can just breathe a sigh of relief, like, these are our boundaries and we just stick with that.
Yeah, and having those boundaries ahead of time so you're not making those kind of gut decisions that may or may not be right in the moment. I think that's super wise. And so, as public as you are, is there anything people would be surprised to know about you, Crystal?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that now that I've been doing Instagram stories, I feel like I am able to share more of my personality than people usually will get through my blog post, especially. And so live video has really been an interesting thing for me to do. When I started Periscope, 2 years ago, I started doing Periscope, I think it was, and when it was kind of new on the market, and there were a lot of people who wrote in and said, I've been following your blog for 8 years or 10 years, and you are a completely different person on live video than I ever expected you to be. And
so, interesting.
So that's been very interesting to me. I think that I have a much more quirky personality, and I think that's what's given me the freedom to be more authentic, because I think getting on live video, you can't just have it all together. You can't have it all perfect and perfectly curated, whatever. So I think live video has really challenged me outside of my comfort zone to be more brave, to share more openly with the world. So that's been good for me.
I love that. I was cracking up when you took your daughter to that competition a few weeks ago, and the sheets that you found out at the end were biodegradable or recyclable or whatever. And you're like, why are these sheets like nothing? This is crazy. I don't know if I could have slept there, Crystal.
The things we do for our kids, you know?
I know, and it's a memory, and you'll look back and laugh and have that bonding week with your daughter, and that's just so sweet. But yeah, the sheets, come on. But I love that you shared that.
Paper towels.
Yes.
We were sleeping on paper towels, and they felt like it.
That is crazy. That's crazy. I just love that. And so you recently also launched a course or an ebook, or what did you just launch?
So I actually launched an entire new site
called
yourbloggingmentor.com, and we launched that a few months ago, and I have a huge, big vision for it, and we also simultaneously launched Your Blogging University, and so I'm going to be releasing a series of beginner courses. I think it'll be about 14 different specifically topicked beginner courses on how to set up your blog and how to set up your social media and how to be successful as a blogger and how to monetize your blog and how to get traffic and just all of the things that you need to know to be a successful blogger. And so we're launching that over the course of the next year. So we launched a small course as kind of just a test run to make sure that all of our systems were a go, because we set up this huge back-end system in order to pull off all these courses, and that went really smoothly. So we are on the cusp of getting ready to launch our first $37 course, which is a full-fledged course, and that one is going to be on basically how to set up your blog, how to set up your social media, and all the things you need to know to go from no blog to getting your blog off the ground and running.
That's so awesome. So do you think it's still, I mean, obviously you do, but think it's a good time to start a blog from scratch at this point?
Yes. So obviously I would not be starting a site on blogging if I didn't believe in blogging, but I think that the market has changed so much. And when I started blogging over 12 years ago, there was no social media. So it's kind of hard for us to imagine a world without social media, but we had blogs and we left comments and we emailed people. That's what we did. And now it's just changed so much with social media. And so I feel like your blog is still the hub. It's kind of the hub from which all of your online presence stems from, but you can't just have a blog. And if you want to make a full-time income blogging, you're also going to have to explore some other things like having an email list and doing social media and different things like that. So I'm going to really be teaching people how to do all the different pieces, how they work together, and then how to figure out what works for you. Because I don't think you need to do all the different social media. I don't think you have to do all the things, but I think you need to do a few things and figure out what those things are and then do them really well.
I love that. And so it's not an outdated version of how to blog. It is based upon what we're dealing with in today's climate with social media and things like that. I love that. That's going to be an awesome course. Where can people find that?
So if you go to yourbloggingmentor.com, that's what I would recommend if anyone is interested in blogging or you are a blogger. We have a cheat sheet on there called 10 Ways to Make $100 with Your Blog. And I'm really trying to target new and beginning bloggers as I'm getting this off the ground, because I really want to help people from the get-go, so to lay a really strong foundation. And then eventually over the next few years, we're planning to launch more stuff for intermediate and advanced bloggers. But one of my heartbeats is just to really help women who have a passion for something and they want to make a difference in the world, but they just don't know how, to really come alongside them and hold their hand and walk them through and show them how, and just really give them the tools and the practical steps to make that happen. And so it's something that people have begged for me to do for years and years, and I finally just have the capacity in my life that I can actually do this. So I'm really excited, and I'm especially excited because we thought about doing like a big course that was just how to blog, but we felt like that could become so easily outdated, and also the pricing on that could be so unreachable for people who are just beginning bloggers. And so that's why we decided to do smaller courses that were on specific topics, so that you can kind of pick and choose which courses you need. And then also it's much more affordable because they're all just $37 each.
Oh, I love that you're making it accessible for people just to get started and test it out. You know, some people might not be sure if they want to commit to the full-blown blogger life, but to be able to just kind of start and get some knowledge, this is a great resource. Good job, Crystal.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. It's been so fun to kind of do something new. I feel like I have been doing the same thing for a very long time. So it's been fun to kind of pivot and get to start something fresh and new. And I feel so much excitement about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Good for you. That's amazing. And so is that what's coming up next for you in the upcoming future?
Yes. So we have a lot of things coming up because I never lack for ideas. I just lack for time. So
yeah.
don't we all? But
yes.
So we're working on the next few courses for that. And then also I'm going to be doing some new courses that are more targeted to moms and to women who aren't necessarily bloggers. And so I have one that I'm working on that I'm hoping to launch around the middle of August that's called Say Goodbye to Survival Mode. And that's based upon, I wrote a book a few years ago called Say Goodbye to Survival Mode. And this will be kind of an extension of that, but it's going to be very practical tips for, you know, confronting the overwhelm and just living with more passion and purpose.
I love it. Will you follow up with me when that comes out? That would be so fun to have you back on to talk about that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Crystal, this has been such a joy to talk to you. I always ask my guests one final question, and I'm really excited to hear your answer. And it's this: what would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
What would I tell my pre-motherhood self? Oh my goodness, there are so many things that I could tell my pre-motherhood self. But I think that the biggest thing that I would say is you are enough. I feel like that I went into marriage and motherhood feeling like I wasn't enough in any area. And I lived under that lie for so long. And that lie really shaded everything that I did, from how I viewed my inabilities to mother well, or to get my child to sleep through the night, or to get my child potty trained, to how I was insecure in being able to reach out to friends like we talked about, to my marriage, to the business, to in every area. I would go into every situation living under the lie that had become a truth to me because I believed it long enough that I wasn't enough. And once I was really able to break free of that and see it for a lie, it completely changed my life. And so I have so much more confidence and courage and ability to show up fully and to be honest and to just do my best and be okay if it's not good enough for some people, and be okay if it's not as good as other people could do, because my best is the best that I can do. And so just recognizing my gifts and my talents and how God has wired me, and resting in that and not feeling like I need to be chasing after what everyone else is doing. And so I would just I think if I could go back, I would just say, believe the truth that you are enough.
I love that so much. Crystal, where can people find you online?
So my blog is moneysavingmom.com, and I think if you want to see more a behind the scenes or hear more of my thoughts on motherhood and my everyday life and journey, the best place to follow me is on Instagram. I am the Money Saving Mom on Instagram.
Love it so much. Thank you so much, Crystal, for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's been so fun. Have a great day.
You too.
Wasn't that such a great conversation with Crystal? If you don't already follow Money Saving Mom online, you definitely need to check her out, especially if you're looking for some money saving tips, couponing, things like that. She gives great deal ideas every single day and works so hard at her blog. So check out moneysavingmom.com. And on social media, you get another little taste of her with the other side of her life, which is the real mom side and the day-to-day life side, which I love as well. So Crystal, thanks so much for sharing your motherhood journey with us. It was such a pleasure talking to you. So if you are interested in starting your own blog, definitely check out her mentoring website. Sounds so awesome. What a great resource for new bloggers. If you don't already do so, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3 or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And then over on our website at ExtraordinaryMomsPodcast.com, you can find all the information we talked about today, pictures of Crystal and her family, and all past episodes. So you can dig back into the archives if you're new around here and listen to other episodes. And I would love it if you'd leave a rating or a review for the show. It really helps other moms to find the show. So thanks so much for doing that. I want to thank our show sponsor today, which is Prep Dish. Prep Dish is an online meal planning service. Every week you get an email in your inbox with not only recipes, but a grocery list. Talk about the time saving that a grocery list provided to you saves. So especially this summer when you're going every which way and dinner is the last thing on your mind and you're tempted to drive through somewhere, don't do it. Plan ahead, prep your meals a little bit ahead of time at the beginning of the week, and then you can put together healthy, well-balanced meals that you can feel good about for your family. And I love the novelty of new recipes as well. Allison over at Prep Dish is a fabulous chef, and she has created the most delicious meals that I know your whole family will love. And not only that, it caters to families and people with dietary restrictions. So there's paleo, gluten-free options that really help support all types of diets. So if you want to try out Prep Dish for absolutely free for 2 weeks, go to prepdish.com/EM for Extraordinary Moms, and you can try it for free, risk-free, 2 weeks. How about that? So thanks, Prep Dish, for sponsoring the podcast. We really appreciate it. Guys, I want to thank you for tuning in every week. It means so much to me. We're going to have a personal episode this Friday talking about the way you see yourself and how to change the way you see yourself if how you're viewing yourself currently is not serving you. It's something that I've really been working on in this past year, and so I want to share what's been working for me in hopes that it might help to encourage and inspire you to make some positive changes about your self-talk as well. And then next Tuesday, we have an amazing episode with Julie Lundgren of So Canary. She is an awesome mom who's kind of struggled with her role as a mom from time to time. And so she really opens up about that very vulnerably. And I think I know, at least for myself, I could really identify with a lot of what she was saying, and I know you will too. So be sure to subscribe on iTunes if you're not already subscribed. That simply means it's absolutely free. It just means that every time a new episode comes out, it will go directly to your unplayed list, and you'll never miss an episode. So don't miss out. Thanks for tuning into the podcast today, and we'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye.